Welcome to the third season of the Play and Art Podcast. I'm so excited to be once again sitting around the Red Kitchen table with my father, Dr. George Sakelly, and it's really wonderful to have our tea here after a summer away and had lots of adventures this summer. I know you were in upstate New York having adventures of your own, and I had an interesting adventure. I started off kind of towards the middle of the summer in Harding County with a wonderful group of art teachers that I spent, I think my fifth summer with them, spending time with them. There's about 15 or 16 art teachers in Harding County, Kentucky. It's in the western part of Kentucky, and I just really enjoy working with them. This session, I asked them to bring in their favorite stuffed animal, and it was really interesting. The stories that came out from these stuffed animals and these experiences, some of them very personal, which was beautiful. I think, you know, you're never too old to have a stuffed animal. I was telling them that my daughter, who's 17, I hope she doesn't listen to this, still has a stuffed animal on her bed. That it's something that my students, when we go to Italy, they take their stuffed animals with them, which I always find interesting. So it's really, you know, an important part of your life that kind of stays with you, which is great. And they had such wonderful stories about their stuffed animals that they brought to share. And some of those creatures that they brought with them were actually part of their own classrooms. So they kind of sit in their classrooms, which is interesting. Some of them were mascots, if you will, for their class, and their kids do drawings of them and take photographs of them in different ways and use them as part of their experience throughout the year. And, you know, some of these were elementary, middle school, and high school teachers, and even some of the high school teachers were saying they have these, you know, friends in their classroom with them. So it was really beautiful to talk to them about ways in which we can use these friends in our teaching, which was part of this. And one of the stories I wanted to share, which we were talking about before this, was a teacher who said to me she's been doing a doll project with her students for many years, and she's a high school teacher, but she actually does it both, you know, with the elementary school students. So the elementary school students will come up with an idea, and the high school students will actually help them to work with them to kind of see it through in terms of being a stuffed animal. So they'll help teach them to sew, they'll help teach them to put things together, which was really nice. And she went to graduation this year, and one of the big football players was graduating, and he turns to her and says, you know, I still sleep with that stuffed animal that I made in kindergarten, which I thought, oh, that was just so beautiful, right? Anyway, I wanted to share that because I thought that was such a special thing that this project that he, you know, made in art class was, you know, stayed with him on his bed for all of those years and was kind of an important part of his life. She was telling me this with tears in her eyes. So it was really a beautiful. The whole group was really moved by this story. You know, how important an art project can be to these kids. So I wanted to start us off with that, but.
It's such a wonderful story because it points to one of the most important considerations in an art lesson, and which is what kind of meaning, what kind of lifelong meaning does it bring to the table, the discussion, and to the classroom. That it's not just this has to be done, this is the curriculum mandate, but that this is something meaningful in the life of children, something they'll keep. They keep, whether it's in their bed or playing with it, or keep it as a lifelong memory of the art experience. And we have to be honest, though, because there are many places in the school or many our colleagues in other fields who will say, well, that's a distraction. We don't want any friends in your class, imaginary friends or or stuffed animal friends, you know. That's to be kept at home. That's never on a school list of supplies, is it? You know, this time of year you get those supply lists. You know, I love to see, you know, bring your friend to school. But to allow the student into class as a whole student, with all their dreams and all their yearnings and fantasies and fears and how much that can be supported and illuminated by the stuffed animal or a doll, you know, dolls in a class, you know, it's always a dialogue about grow up, you know, mm-hmm. act your age.
It's not the place
leave
for
leave the toys behind you at home, you know, they're mm-hmm. send off to the flea market world, and then in school they don't admit the dolls and the playthings.
Well, we talked about that a lot in this group, because I think it's a really important conversation, and that you know, some kids might not, you know, feel comfortable bringing their dolls to school, right? They feel like, oh, I don't want to share this very private part of me, which is why it was interesting when we talked about them actually making the dolls and then where we can go from that if they actually made the dolls, you know, to do drawings of the dolls and places where the dolls can live and all of those things. So to actually create them in school. Also, I have a nice huge bag of, like, you know, kind of dollar store dolls, if you will, or cheaper dolls that we could always use. And some kids do want to bring it in and they're very happy to share. And part of that might be an age thing. That they're allowed to bring it in is such a, like, exciting moment that, you know, it's something I'm asking them to do as part of class. And some of them are happy to take one from the pile that I have and kind of use it as part of their, you know, the first thing we did in this group was we dressed them up. They had wonderful different outfits and stuff. And I think once they, once they realized it was kind of a free space to be able to do that, right, and to talk about fashion and start with that, I think that more of them would probably want to bring it in. So I think just keeping that environment open is really important.
Well, the most exciting fashion shows, of course, develop from the designs of children, and all the great fashion designers speak about their cutout dolls and their mm-hmm. their early dressing of dolls and early dressing of their play figures. It's all a question, you know, is the art paper yours? Is that your surface to make art on? Or is that a place to take notes of what the teacher is saying or asking you to do? And the same way with dolls and stuffed animals and bringing toys and bringing your own found objects to start a lesson with and your own art materials instead of getting it from supply catalogs. How much of yourself are you able to bring into class? And will there be a space for you in that class? A space for you on the paper, mm-hmm. space for you in under the table to curl under, to make your doll, to cuddle with your doll, to use your pool toy to cross the room. So how much is that art room yours, that space, that surface that you're working on? How much is it of your own control?
Yeah, and how much is dictated by the art teacher? It's such an important conversation. It's one of the first things I start out with in many of my classes is that art teacher book by Tommy DePaula. I think it's such a valuable lesson. It's his, you know, it's a true story of his life growing up, which I think is important. But this idea that you know, he was so excited for the art teacher to come in. I'm sure most of you know it, right? And that he wasn't able to, you know, use his own crayons, that he brought in his box of 64 Crayola crayons, right? I probably could do it by memory at this point. He wasn't allowed to paint what he wanted. He had to paint what was on the board. And his kind of, you know, pretty much breaking the system in some ways and saying, well, okay, I'll do that, but then I want to do my own stuff. And the teacher, you know, in the end allowing for that and, you know, spawning basically who Tommy DePaula is today, which is this wonderful children's book artist who's done, you know, hundreds of books. But if they wouldn't have allowed for that in the classroom, I always think they would have stifled him and said, no, you can only use these crayons, you can only use this paint, you can only do it this way because I said so, I'm the art teacher, you know, how that would have changed the trajectory of his life, which is fascinating.
I think art teaching generally is this handing of the baton over to the children, and to see the kids in your room as the artist, as the generators of art ideas, supplies. How much can your students prepare for that art class instead of worrying about your lesson plans, your teaching ideas, to be carried out completely, and how, no matter how fulfilling that is for the art teacher, it's not about that. And what a powerful discussion about showing the DePaula book and discussing it the very first day of class, you know, and so the direction shifts right away.
Yes.
And I, in very informal ways, try to carry on with that in terms of saying it's your class. It's your paper, it's your decision, it's your ideas. Surprise me. Don't worry about my judgments or criticism.
Yes.
This is your home. This is your art room.
Yeah.
You can open the drawers, you can open the cabinets, you can find a spot in the room that will work for your idea.
Mm-hmm. Very different than handing them a rubric, putting on the board, these are the five things you need to do today, giving them their I can statements, which is big in Kentucky, those type of things that really are, you know, I think you're starting the lesson with such stifling language that it's really hard to create. And I think any of us as artists, you know, if we started like that, if we said, okay, you have 45 minutes and here are your, hand somebody a rubric, I think all of us would be stifled in some way. So I think understanding that, putting yourself in your student's position and saying, okay, that's not the way I'd want an art room to be, right? I'd want the freedom to create. I'd want to not be told every step of the way what to do. You know, I think that's a huge part of this in my mind, is understanding what even you would want as an artist, giving that to the kids.
Yeah, it's art teaching can be renamed as the class that welcomes kids. The art teaching can be renamed the class that hands over the important part of learning to the children.
And allowing for their creativity, allowing for them to express themselves, allowing for all of those things that they might not get the rest of the day. And I think that's
this period is about you. And to show that in every way, from the time you greet the kids, the time you spend with the kids, and to in every way to really make it about them.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because there's no other place in the school, and we've kind of said this in different ways before, where you feel that. So I think it is a step back for them to say, oh, this is about me. I don't have to, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 in this class. I can come up with my own ideas and my own way to think, and it's respected. I think that's so important. It's one of the things I really loved about elementary school, though, is that you have them for 5 years at least, sometimes more. So it becomes very easy for them to come in after a little while and just, you know, be able to be in that mindset, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. Children have this genius of, it's one of their hallmark art forms of collecting and finding beauty in everything, in all materials, in discovering objects everywhere, to think of everything as an art supply. All these things to deal with, yes, a doll is an art supply, and a stuffed animal is a very important player in my creative life.
I think they see that at home, though. I think there's such a huge disconnect between what they're doing at home, where they are dressing up their dolls, and they are having these experiences, to what's going on in school. And if we're, you know, doing a little bit of that in school and allowing for it, I think it lets them see that what they're doing at home is also valuable to them as artists.
I would say a good part of this summer spent with my grandchildren was watching them play in their dollhouse, which because of the Olympics was converted into a gymnasium. And on another day it was converted into a dance studio because they're both of the grandkids take dance. So the Barbie house or playhouse that they it has new identities and new uses. But to be able to bring your child self, your dreams and fantasies, you need the dollhouse, you need the toys, you need the equipment, mm-hmm. which is the home art supply. And then after playing with the dollhouse all summer, then you go into an art class and what is this place? There is no connection to the fantastic things that they were able to build for this Olympics stadium, which, you know, they were making. So to trust their own ideas, to trust their ideas, the teacher has to work very hard to be supportive of the child as the artist.
Yeah, and to not, you know, I think when we start with things like, well, let's, you know, we're at the first day of school and let's start with the color wheel, or let's start with, you know, something, not necessarily an art project, but more of a how to do something. I think it's really difficult. It's really difficult. You're not creating that space for them. What I loved about this group in Hardin County, I have to say, is that they came to me now showing me pictures of, on their phones, of different projects they did last year with the students, the beginning projects. And one of the things I really stressed last year is to start off the first day not with the rules, not with the syllabus, not with all of this stuff. Not that you can't do a little bit of that, I get it, but to actually make some art the first day. And it was wonderful to come back a year later to these pictures and these stories of how parents were talking to them about this and kids were excited about it. And it's probably one of the only things they actually did that day that they could go home and say, I did something in school, other than learn the rules and the syllabus a million times. And it was really, it was awesome for me to see that it, you know, it made such an impact in these, and how the teachers started their year. I think it's important that they were starting with art. They were excited about making art with the students, and the students were excited about coming to art class. So this beginning of not, you know, of just doing a little something, even if you have to go through, you feel like you have to go through all the stuff, fine. But, you know, they're not going to remember that. They're not going to remember that tomorrow, I guarantee you. Yeah. You know, if you make art with them, it'll make the biggest impact.
In essence, it's bringing the toys, the stuffed animals, the dolls, and the pocket cars, and the little things that are so meaningful to them to class, and then leaving class with other toys, basically. Mm-hmm. We make all kinds of playgrounds and toys and like trains and ice cream stores, good humor trucks, and
your favorite
because the kids, that's the what the kids will be taking home and playing with.
Yeah.
So they bring all their play loves to school, which they see as being accepted in the art class, and then they bring the treasures home, not to hang up on the fridge and then be destroyed or thrown away, but they bring more things that enrich their lives at home, and they can play with and add to and build a larger world of with them at home. So we very much emphasize making things that are built well, that don't fall apart, whether it's a zoo or a skate park. Mm-hmm. That this can be used at home with their little figures and their little garages with their Hot Wheel cars, that these are all usable performance stages, you mm-hmm. know. that they can use with their other figures that they have at home.
It really is the ultimate performance art, if you think about it. Sure. I mean, that really is the first, you know, we think as adults we've invented performance art, which is pretty funny to me, because kids are the best at, you know, performance art. They will, you know, tell you stories, talk you through it, come up with all kinds of wonderful, you know, different ways to perform pieces. It's just, it's pretty incredible. You just really have to look to them for the best performance art out there.
And they have an eye. They have a natural eye that's uninhibited and unlimited. If we go into Chick-fil-A, they will come out with the cups, the straws, the carrying container, and the whole trousseau from the store, and build the most amazing cities of the future, underwater palaces. So they have an eye for interesting things. Boxes in particular is one of
But so much of this is if you're allowing for it as a parent, if you're allowing for it as a teacher, if you're showing them, and I think this is a huge part of it, that there's value in this, right? If they're starting to create, not say, oh, stop doing that, you know, but actually, you know, building with them even, or asking them about what they're building. And, you know, as a teacher, you know, bringing some of that stuff in and showing them, you know, that you value the fact that they're using these things to build. So I think, you know, I know myself as a kid, you always, you know, if I started doing something like that, you would be very supportive of it. And so much of that as teachers and as parents even is about that support. So I think that that's a huge part of that.
Very rarely this summer, I remember the kids going to, we didn't have the museum nearby, we were in upstate New York, but very seldom did we go grocery shopping without the kids pointing out to me the stuff they want to take home, or I should look at it because this container is so exciting, or this tie for the fruits and vegetables is exciting, so they load it up in their pocket with the little ties. And I mean, they will find what others ignore. They will find it on the street, they will find it in the park, they will find it in the supermarket. So it's so important that they come prepared with all their great finds to class. And that can be dolls, that can be, but the treats of each season that fall on the ground, in the park, and the wonderful things of having your own cart in the supermarket to load up with free things that you find. Or following the stock clerk, you know, which the kids are so apt, so able to do. And while the stock clerk is wondering, why are they so interested in my job?
Do they want to become? But the boxes that you're leaving.
Yeah. It's really what you're, you know. It's,
I must have had a good experience this summer with the stock clerk.
Yeah. This summer, the kids patiently watched about 36 boxes being opened, because the lids for the display, they opened the boxes and they took out the products to display. But the lid for this giant, for this large box, was this kidney-shaped, wonderful kidney-shaped piece of cardboard. And it had an arrow that was cut into it.
Wow.
I mean, they noticed the shape, the beauty, the detailing of this, and they wanted all 36 pieces, and they patiently waited for it.
Wow. So you didn't have room in your car for groceries, is what you're saying.
Well, they know that their stuff will go first, and the groceries will go next. If
well,
they have to
and
leave
that's,
it, we'll come back for groceries.
That's right. But that's the important part of this that, you know, we need to think about as teachers, is how do we support this? How do we... you know, how do we do that as teachers? And I think that's so much a part of our job, is to support them having those type of experiences and seeing things, right? And saying, oh yeah, you know, I saw that too. Oh my goodness, that's such a good find. And just that support is really important. So
you can't leave out from this the role that parents play. So instead of talking about the children's grades or their so-called misdeeds in the class when parents come up, to really spend the time with parents every chance you get, open school night, on other nights, mm-hmm. talking about what shopping really means to the children, that it is really an art experience, an exploration, a find, and how that can be supported, or any of these things that you can show them, because grocery stores are around the school. The museum may not be around the corner, but you can take a grocery store trip as your first experience.
Yeah.
They come to,
well, it's one of the things I take everything. My, it's one of the things I do with my students, and at the college level, is I have them go to the grocery store. We do a day trip to the grocery store, and I think it's one of the best things that we do is we start by finding the, them each get a shopping cart, and they have 15 minutes, and they get to find all of the free things in 15 minutes, and it's amazing within 15 minutes how they can completely fill their shopping carts with free stuff. It's pretty cool to have them go around the store. I have cleared this with the store, by the way, because we are fast shoppers, and you know, but we do a couple different rounds of different things that they can, interesting designs, interesting things they can show with their yeah.
Yes.
It's great. It's one of the best trips, because also I think it's hard for us as adults to say, hey, you know, can we we're our teachers, can we have this for our class? I think that's always I'm a fairly shy person. It's hard to do. So getting them used to that, I think, is important, because we need to do that as our teachers. And it's amazing what you can get. It really is. I had one student the other day walk out with like a pack of 500 of those meat trays, without meat on them, but those meat trays that they could use, which was incredible. And I've had, you know, lots of things from the floral department come through. And it's just, you know, when they hear you're an art teacher right away, they're pretty giving, most of the stores. So we've had some great experiences with that. I think we're going to wrap up a little bit.
Okay,
we're very excited by this first episode.
That, while you're doing this at the college level, start early. When the kids
yes.
start collecting the paint samples in every store, or the counter samples, or
yes.
support them then.
Absolutely.
And take them as elementary kids on walks to the park, the supermarket, the Goodwill stores, all these dollar stores and so forth,
yeah.
to show them the world of art, where it lives.
Exactly.
And it's not at the art supply store alone.
Yeah, that definitely ties into my book that's coming out in cheap plug. October. So be looking for that, talking about art and community and all these wonderful places that you could find art. That's what it's about. So it's already on Amazon, just saying.
I'm brazen.
Right? I've never done that before. I feel a little bit odd and empowered at the same time. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Play and Art podcast. We are very excited to be back for the next season, and we look forward to many more podcasts together, many more discussions. And please post on our Facebook site. We're always happy to incorporate some of your comments into our discussions.
And your pictures.
And your pictures on the site. Yes. Thank you.